Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're back. We're live here at George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Beningo and Roberts, of course, with the Yankees. And joining us right now, another one of the he's a legendary Yankee now. I mean, with all the championships he won, one of their great first basemen over the years, and that, of course, number 24, Tino Martinez. Tino, Joe and Evan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good.
We're excellent.
Doing good.
Now, how old are you now, Tino?
I'm 52.
You're 52.
Come on.
Yes.
Really?
And I mean this.
It's like you can still play, Tino.
Well, I wish. Yeah, I wish.
What I was going to tell you is at 52 – I think you're the best defensive first baseman at camp right now. I mean, Luke Voigt's known for his bat. I'm sure he's getting better. Miguel Andujar's learning the position. So when you're working with these guys, I'm thinking Tino's the best defensive first baseman here.
Yeah, well, you know, they're learning. You know, Ford's a pretty good first baseman. He's getting better as well. Luke is this spring, I've seen him so much better as far as, like, throwing the ball to second base and turning double plays. He looks a lot more comfortable and relaxed out there as opposed to – real bulky and rigidity. He smoothed himself out a little bit, and he should be all right. But, you know, they got to find somebody there to play day in and day out. And you know, there's always LeMahieu if they need him as well.
Tino, 20 years now. What is it, 20 years now since that championship? Last one for you in 2000 against the Mets? Does it seem that long?
It's crazy. You know, to think about 20 years ago, that World Series again, through 96, we had the 20th reunion a few years ago, and how time flies. I mean, it's incredible to think it's been that long, but what a great series, the Subway Series that year. The actual World Series was one of a kind for that city.
When you look at the championships, like 96 is the first. 98 is greatest team I've ever seen. I don't think I'll ever see a team as great as that. 99, all right, we got a dynasty. And then 2000, and we talked about this yesterday. What's amazing about 2000 is that you guys couldn't win a game in September.
Could not win.
You looked very beatable. You end up winning 87 games, and the playoffs come around, and it's like, all right, let's go.
Time to win.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. Down the stretch here in September, we were playing hard. I mean, we weren't just, you know, giving games away. We were trying to win the division, first of all. And it just seemed like every time we took the field, the first, second inning, we're down 6-0, 7-0 right away. It was unbelievable how our pitchers were getting hit. They were scoring runs off us. We couldn't catch up and score runs to win games. And then we just knew down the stretch here, once the last week came and we won a couple of games, and the way we always approach it, though, was when the playoffs come, it's 0-0. Your record is 0-0. Even in 98, we won 114 games. It was back to 0-0 again. So it's you start all over. So we know the mentality of that both sides of that, that we could come out and win game one, of course, which is the most important game of the playoffs, game one, then game two, and game three. And we won game one, won game two, and we just took off from there and got hot again.
So you're on that Seattle team in 1995 that winds up beating the Yankees in the playoffs. Mm. And then comes the trade. And, you know, you wind up coming here. And you're the guy that's replacing the legend there, Baseball, Don Mattingly. And it was tough for you in the beginning. You heard it from the fans a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of course, you eventually would more than win them over. But how difficult was that for you, Tino?
It was difficult. You know, I was very excited to get traded to the Yankees, you know, knowing that Donnie was retiring and I had a chance to come play here. It wasn't like – you know, he had to go somewhere else, and I pushed him out. So that was an easier way to come in than wanting to play another year. So when I got off to a slow start in April and May, I just put a lot of pressure on myself. I was pressing at the plate, swinging at bad pitches. I was just coming out of my game because I wanted to please the fans so bad. And I knew I could do it. I just had to relax, get myself going. And I deserved all the boos and the criticism from the newspaper. But I knew once I started relaxing and hitting the ball the way I could and the team started winning, it just seemed like by July 1st, 4th of July area, the All-Star break, we were in first place. I was playing well. The team was playing well. And the fans just jumped on us and carried us the rest of the way.
Was it difficult in that 96 year? You had so many big stars that you were not an everyday player. There weren't a lot of everyday players. There were a lot of, you know, Cecil Fielder's getting at-bats, yeah. Straw's getting at-bats, you're getting at-bats. How difficult was that?
You know, it was a little difficult. You know, we got Cecil. I was playing first base for the most part until the trading deadline in July. We got Cecil. And then Cecil played a few days at first, and I sat a little bit. I DH'd a little bit. But, you know, you just adjust. You know, right. When the team was winning, it was working. That's the bottom line. Joe Torre had the lineups that were working out there. And, again, the World Series. I got benched in the World Series in Game 3 in the National League ballpark in Atlanta for Cecil. But he was swinging the bat well, and I wasn't. And we won the World Series.
The home run, I guess, off Langston. And San Diego Game 1 really won the World Series that night in 98.
Oh, that ended the series. No
98
question.
Against the Padres. I mean, come on.
No
and,
question.
Of course, it looks like, you know, you struck out right before that as well.
Yeah, close.
And then in typical Yankee fashion, you hit the ball out of the ballpark. Is that the moment you think about that maybe the most for you?
Yeah, it was a great moment. Obviously, every World Series is great, but that one, to hit that grand slam in Game 1, to see the fans' reaction, the way the fans just reacted after that home run and for the two innings after that, they did not slow down. They were loud as can be. Beer was flying. I felt like that was a huge momentum shift right there in Game 1 to help us win that World Series. As the same, I think, when Derek Jeter hit the leadoff home run
against
in Game 5 against the Mets. I thought the game was over right there.
Yeah.
When the 2-2 pitch is called a ball, all right, we can argue strike, ball, it was close.
It's one of those that you see on TV every day on the box. That little box.
Yes.
It's the one that hits the bottom line or right at that bottom line. It's in the, you know, could have been a strike or ball.
Would the electronic umpire have called it a strike? Let's ask that.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. If you watch enough Aaron Judge, they would have called it a strike on him. Everything that's low is called a strike on him.
I know.
But what is the – because I know as a fan – when there's a pitch that just misses, I assume next pitch, batter's going to take advantage of it. I remember actually on the other end for you, the Subway Series against the Mets, Matt Franco, I'll admit, struck out on an 0-2 pitch to Mariano Rivera. He struck out.
Yeah.
They called it a ball. Next pitch, game-winning base hit. Mets beat the Yankees. For Met fans, it was like winning the World Series. Yeah. But as a batter.
Saturday afternoon game.
Saturday. Yeah, never forget. It was a classic game. I think you had a home run in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Actually, now that I know. I know Posada hit one right-handed. And Piazza
hit
a bomb.
Hit one, yeah.
Either way. But when that happens in the moment, what is your – are you not thinking, hey, this is really close? They could have punched me out? What's your – kind of going through your mind in that moment?
I really was looking for a ball, you know, up in the zone to hit. And it was right at the knees. I mean, it was probably in the strike zone at the knees, the lowest part of the zone.
Right.
I thought it was a ball. I thought it was low, completely thought it was a ball. So when he called it a ball, it didn't surprise me.
Gotcha.
So then look at the replays afterwards. Everybody made me say, you know, look at the replay. It was closer than I thought. But at that moment in the at-bat, I thought it was a ball. So I didn't, you know, think otherwise. So I thought 3-2 count now, continue the at-bat and, you know, try to get a pitch up in the zone and hit it.
And do you think the same thing Joe and I thought, which, and I thought this in the moment he did too, that when you hit the grand slam, oh, it's this series is over. Like, it is.
No, don't
yeah, well, you guys think that, but it's in the dugout. You know, it's Game 1.
Right.
And the Padres were hitting the ball well. They scored a lot of runs off us, and all the games were close besides that one. And, you thought, obviously, it was – I don't think the game was over yet. The World Series is over yet. We don't think that way in the dugout because you don't jinx yourself. But you know, maybe if it was Game 6 or 7 for a clincher, you might think, okay, the game's over. That game, the World Series, is over. But not in Game 1. It's a long way to go after that.
You know, and we're talking, of course, to Tino Martinez. The one moment, though, that team had, the 114-win team there in 98, was in the series against Cleveland. You guys were actually down 2-1 to the Indians. A terrific Indian team as well, as you know.
Yeah.
And El Duque comes up with a huge game. In Game 4. How about that and that whole series against Cleveland that year?
Yeah, that was tough as well. That was when that play at first base. And we left there 1-1.
Yep.
And they beat us, I believe, in Game 2, I think. And
we're Game 3? You were down 2-1.
You're down 2-1. Yeah. You're down 2-1.
Yeah. And, so when El Duque pitched that game, I mean, that was just – I mean, it just turned everything around. All of a sudden, the series was back in our favor. We're going back to New York, and we knew we had them at that point for sure. But that was a scary series. I mean, everybody thinks that we you know, we dominated the playoffs, which we did win-wise, but it was close games. That's what we were so good at was winning the 3-2 game, winning a pitcher's duel, getting the key hit, making the key pitch that we had to do.
It is, as we mentioned, 20 years since the Subway Series. It makes me think of the first ever Subway Series as far as regular season in 1997, where the Mets win game one at Yankee Stadium, you guys win game two, and you hit the walk-off off Johnny Franco in game three. I know as a fan, I was in the ballpark for all three games. It felt like a World Series.
Yeah.
To me, it was like the biggest thing ever. And when you hit that ball down the left field line, it was a killer as a Met fan.
Yeah.
What was it like for you? Was it kind of that? I mean, you had just experienced winning a championship. Yeah. So I don't know if a series in June does that for you, but I know for fans we felt that way. What was that like?
Yeah, it did feel that way. I mean, a series in June is not usually a big series, but that one there with both teams involved, George Steinbrenner involved, who was like, we had to win that series.
Right.
That
would have been,
that could have been some trades right after that. We lost that series. That might have been some trades happening, but there was a lot of pressure on us because we had won the World Series the year before, and we were expected to beat the Mets in that series.
Sure.
And to lose game one, and now we're going, oh, gosh, you know, we got to find a way to win this series. So it was definitely a big series for us as well, and you can feel it through the fans and the media as well that it was a huge series.
How about coming over in the trade from Seattle to the Yankees? Now, the Yankees, when you got here, had not won in a while. You know, it had been, you know, 1978 was the last time they had won a championship. So you come over in that deal from Seattle, a team you had just beaten them in the playoff, wild playoff series. Edgar Martinez, the big hit and all of that. What was your thought process with that?
Well, I was excited. I didn't know I was going to get traded here. You know, I hit 30 home runs that year. We had a great team in Seattle. So I thought we were going to come back and keep the team together. And I had just finished my third year or so, and I was eligible for arbitration. And I thought I was coming back. And then in December, I'm here in Tampa, and I picked the newspaper up one day, and I saw Tino Martinez possibly being traded. And I had no idea. So I saw Lou Piniella one day here in Tampa. He lives here as well. And I said, Lou, am I getting traded? And he says, yeah. I said, you know, the payroll is so high with the four guys, the junior, Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, Jay Buhner. These guys had big contracts, and Seattle didn't have the money to take myself or Jeff Nelson to arbitration and a couple other guys. So he said, I said, where am I getting traded to? He said, well, it's either Cubs, the Padres, or the Yankees. And he said, where do you want to go? And I said, I'd love to go to New York. I mean, Donnie's retiring.
Sure.
I loved hitting in Yankee Stadium. I knew they had a really good team coming back.
Yep.
And I've always wanted to play for the Yankees. And he said, all right, I'll make it happen. So when that happened, he could trade me anywhere. And fortunately, I got to come here and experience all this. But I was really excited as can be. I was thrilled to death. And I remember that 25 years ago was the first year here in Steinbrenner Field, my first year with the Yankees in 96. And I remember putting on that uniform. The first spring training day, to put that uniform on, the jersey, I actually went and looked in the mirror to see what I looked like. I never do that.
Yes.
I wanted to see what it looked like, it was so exciting. I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's one of those trades, Yankee fans. Yeah. Russell
and
Davis
Seattle
and Sterling Hitchcock.
Too. That's the Seattle team. You just said it. I mean, that was a hell of a
good team.
All
they needed was the pitching. Pitching that to help Randy Johnson out.
Right.
We'd have been really good. But they got better as the years went on. Again, they won 116, and we beat them. But they ran out of pitching. That was bottom
beat
line.
Beat them in five, too.
Smoked
pretty impressive.
In that series.
We're talking to Tino Martinez. A little bit about what you're doing here, because what you're doing here is important. We were joking about the first baseman, but Luke Voit obviously is looking to improve. And Miguel Andujar is learning a new position. What have you seen so far from Andujar transitioning from third to left field, but also first base?
Yeah, well, he's got the talent to do it. The thing is, at first base, you just have to know where to be at all times. Who to back up, the cutoffs and relays. There's a lot going on in your head as far as, like, just catching the ball and tagging first or, okay, now it's first, second, you know, what do I do now? And now you got to remember you got to turn two, get back. It's lots of stuff that he has to learn in game situations, basically. So he's got the talent to do it, he's got the arm to do it, and he has the glove to do it, but he's got to learn how to –
Is it going to be difficult for – because he's learning two new positions at the same time. We saw him play the outfield yesterday, caught a fly ball, took control. What ticks me off – this should tick you off because you actually played the major leagues. As a kid, all I played was first base because I'm a lefty. Where are they going to stick me? Yeah. The outfield or first base? And it always annoys me when people say, well, just stick that guy at first base. Well, first base is an important position, and it's also not that easy. Is it difficult for Andujar to learn that position along with learning left field? Like, do you think he would learn enough to be ready to play that position at the start of the season?
I don't know. I think he has to get quite a few games in here in spring training at first base for sure. Because you move from one side of the diamond to the other, the ball comes off the bat a different way. The right-handed guy now, the ball slices a little bit. The left-handed guy pulls the ball more. So I know when I would mess around and go to shortstop with Derek during batting practice and mess around, when the ball comes off the bat on that side, it's a whole different game for me on that side of the field. So he's got to read the balls off the bat, how the right-handed hitter slices the ball away from you, things like that. And I think left field will be a lot easier for him because the ball comes off the bat the same way. He's got to learn how to you know, get jumps on the ball and make the catches.
Right.
Tino, it's great having you on, man. It's good seeing you. You look like
you
could play.
Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys. Always good talking to y'all.
Thank you very
much. Tino Martinez, Beningo and Roberts, we're down here at George Steinbrenner Field, and we got a lot more to do. We're here till 6.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.